Hello, students, and welcome to Class of X, the free internet course on how to read and enjoy the X-Men comics better. I'm your teacher and host, John Reisinger, and today we are talking about a somber subject, a sad day, but a day worth reflecting upon. We're talking about the end of the Krakoan era. It's finally come. It's finally here. Krakoa, the first Krakoan era, to be very specific, is over. If you are not aware of what the heck I'm talking about, great. I'm here to spoon feed you, baby bird. In 2019, Jonathan Hickman, everyone say it with me, he released his soft reboot series, House of X and Powers of Ten, which was a soft, like I said, soft reboot. I'm just going to keep repeating myself. Reboot of the X-Men. And it kicked off this whole new era where all of the X-Men and all mutants moved to an island nation that they created themselves on the mutant itself, Krakoa, who's an island. That's been going on for the past 5 years. For the past, 6 months, I have to check my data on that one. The closing event of this whole era has been going on called The Rise of the Powers of X, The Rise of the Powers of Ten and the Fall of the House of X, which is the fall of the X-Men. And while this ending has been a bit fumbled, if I'm going to be honest, and a little confusing and maybe not the ending that any of us really wanted, I think it's the ending that we needed to happen no matter what. I don't think there was a real ending. Maybe there was, but I don't have high hopes that there was an ending there that we've all been happy about. But it's been a good 5 years, and I'd rather focus on that and talk about like just what Krakoa and that whole era of X-Men comics gave to us being X-Men fans and comic readers. I mean, not to even mention that it was an era that got us through the pandemic. I remember reading X-Men comics through the pandemic and just being like, well, this is nice that I have a good thing to focus on while I'm trying not to die. And on top of that, I mean, it introduced so many cool moments and concepts and characters and stories. So today's episode is going to be our top and bottom five of the Krakoan era. Well, my top five things about the Krakoan era and my bottom five things about the Krakoan era. What I didn't like about the Krakoan era. But we're gonna talk about the good, talk about the bad, and close out this era with a little bit of information for y'all if you weren't aware of some of these things, but also a moment to reflect for those of you who've been following along. And maybe we can agree, maybe we can disagree on some of these points that I want to make, but along the way we get to kind of ruminate and think back on what a wild 5 years it's been to be reading these X-Men comics. I can't emphasize enough how bizarre it is to think that this era is over and everything that, like, just even making this episode, I was thinking through everything that happened and so much has been going on. And luckily, honestly, looking back at it all, mostly good, almost entirely good. I actually had a hard time. I wanted to make this like symmetrical. I was like, I'll pick five good things, my top five good things, and I'll pick my five least favorite things. And I was like, I'm having a hard time actually coming up with five things I didn't like about this. I got kind of specific with some of the things I didn't like. So let's start off with that. This is number five of the bad. Let's talk about Evil Beast. For those of you who aren't aware of what I'm talking about, no, I'm not talking about Dark Beast from the Age of Apocalypse, who was the alternate reality version of Beast, who is this evil genetic scientist that at the when Age of Apocalypse ended, he found his way to Earth 616 and was a villain. No, I'm talking about the progression of our Beast, Earth 616 Beast, going from the bouncing joy of blue fur into a pot-bellied, one-eyed monster who was committing genocide and, overthrowing entire governments and using other mutants without their consent, abusing his power, thinking that he was better. It wasn't good. In that it got annoying. I actually think it was a interesting character progression, and I now that it's over, I can value it more. I can enjoy it more. I think until there was signs that it was going to end, this evil beast, you know, kind of a saga was going to end, I don't think I was able to enjoy it very much because it was just a lot. He was turning into a real jerk, to use very soft terms. And his jerkiness was overstaying its welcome. He was coming across as annoying. It didn't work well with drunk Sage either. That was the other thing that was going on, that he was able, it was Sage and him were running X-Force, which X-Force was a fun book. I actually liked the X-Force book. And I like Sage's, I like the arc that Sage got to go through, but again, Beast stayed evil for too long, and Sage stayed a broken alcoholic for a little bit too long, which it's hard. It's hard to pace stories. It's hard to know how long to over, you know, to stay your welcome. But I'm glad they both got fixed. Beast got reset to like his Defenders era of Beast, and Sage found Alcoholics Anonymous, and it's all good with them. But that's my bottom. That's my number five of the bad. My number five of the good. I've talked about this before, but I have to point it out. Hickman introduced a fantastic concept in the X-Men comics. Death no longer matters. He fixed what was turning into a boring story problem. It had been it's the entire audience of X-Men and comics abroad have learned that if it's like a Marvel or DC title and the characters are popular, if they die, all you have to do is be patient and the character will come back eventually. Sometimes it was, you know, fun and good, a good story point, but for the most part, it just didn't really have any gravity anymore. You know, I do remember that, you know, Colossus dying in order to cure the legacy virus, it affected me a lot. But once he came back, I was like, oh yeah, he can just come back. I guess they all can just keep coming back. Even like the death of Wolverine didn't mean anything, because I don't know how you can convince anybody that Marvel is going to let Wolverine stay dead for very long. He literally doesn't die, and then you're going to figure out a way to kill him. He's going to come back. He's too popular. Sometimes, like I said, sometimes when deaths happen in comics, it can make room for some really cool stories that couldn't have happened if they were alive. Like I would say the Winter Soldier is a great example, when Captain America died at the end of Civil War in the comics. Bucky becoming Captain America was a really cool run of Captain America. So it can work out. In the X-Men comics, it just really wasn't like something that needed to be the stakes anymore. And so by removing that and introducing the Five and the resurrection protocols, it implemented a very interesting mechanic that enabled writers to do things like bring back obscure old characters that really wouldn't have ever been brought back because it really didn't matter. And that was kind of like a way of, like, you know, giving a little treat to us legacy fans. It also created like new stakes and new like antagonistic mechanics that were interesting to see writers navigate through. Cyclops had his fake death because they had to keep the resurrection protocols a secret. And so when he died publicly, they had to figure out how to deal with that so that he could be resurrected, but it wouldn't out them. We have X-23 accidentally having a double made of her because a version of her, the original one of her, was stuck in a pocket dimension, basically. Even the X-Factor's storyline was great, because X-Factor's always been, like, or not always, but for a long time now, has been a detective agency story. And so X-Factor in the Krakoan era was detectives that were assigned with figuring out if someone actually was dead so they don't do double resurrections. And not to even mention like the you know, Sinister getting to create his coup because he puts a bug in the resurrection protocols that gives him control over the people. Which is a great segue into my number four favorite thing that happened during the Krakoan era, and that is Mr. Sinister. Now, Mr. Sinister has for a long time now been a character I've really liked. Yeah, you guys have heard me talk about Inferno a ton. But it was, I've said this before, Kieran Gillen's utilization of Sinister during the Craig Cohen era has been genius and so fun. Turning Mr. Sinister into this campy, over-the-top drag queen villain is the most masterful stroke that anyone has done with him in his long tenure in the X-Men roster. If you have not read Hellions yet, you need to check out Hellions from 2020 during the Krakoa era. It is amazing. Mr. Sinister using the Moira engines to try to cheat his way into running the show. So good. And that led to Sins of Sinister, which is one of the many great crossover events during the Krakoan era. The Krakoan era had so many good crossover events. We talked about X of Swords already. There's Inferno, the Krakoan Inferno. There's Sins of Sinister. They were so good. And Sins of Sinister was just this really just interesting and fun alternate reality little play. I think the X-Men are so enjoyable when we get to play around in alternate realities, alternate universes like Age of Apocalypse, like the Days of Future Past, things like that. And Sins of Sinister has to go up there in the library of some of the best alternate versions of the X-Men. And from there, we got the origin introduction of Rasputin the Fourth, who is an awesome addition to the X-Men kind of cast list, in my opinion. Not only is she just a really cool power set to kind of introduce, but she's also just this very strong and stoic and powerful, like character-wise, personality. And I love that she is part of Sinister's story. I love that she hates him more than anything in the world because of his betrayal of her. Sinister might be one of my favorite parts of the fall of House of X and rise of the Powers of Ten. His kind of interaction with Professor X in there was actually kind of fun. I've always been a fan of this character. He's a great villain, and now I think he's just one of the best villains, which is makes sense why he played a pretty big part in X-Men 97. But I'll tell you what I didn't like of what they did with one of the characters from X-Men, and I'm reaching here, but I want to point this out because I think this is worth talking about. The fact that the Krakoan era was the introduction of the retcon that Franklin Richards, the son of Reed and Sue Richards, Reed Richards, Sue Storm, Mr. Fantastic and the Invisible Woman, that he's no longer a mutant. It was kind of a thing that was the culmination of a four-part X-Men and Fantastic Four miniseries. And it's been generally confirmed that the result of that was not in the plans of the Krakoan era originally, that the author of that four-part series kind of ran with something that maybe not everybody agreed with. The whole introduction that his omnipotent powers masked him as a mutant, it never made sense to me. I didn't like it. It felt forced. It felt cruel, a little mean. It made Franklin less interesting, and it didn't make sense. It also ruined this, like, what could have been a cool opportunity of the Fantastic Four and X-Men kind of mingling and figuring out what their relationship is. I'm just thinking it out. I'm like, how cool would it have been if Mr. Fantastic and Forge worked together and created some really cool stuff? We had, you know, like, those are both like the makers, the builders, and I like Mr. Fantastic as a character, but I didn't like this story. I didn't like this retcon. Since we're talking about things I didn't like, I'll go to number three of things I didn't like: the return of Apocalypse's wife Genesis after X of Swords. I loved X of Swords. Great fantasy crossover event. So fun, so epic and had a great ending. But then when they brought back Genesis for this like second war on Mars, her character didn't make sense. Her motivations didn't make sense to me. It undercut the whole tournament that they went through, the victory that they had. And even Annihilation just came back and was annoying again. And Genesis was still a jerk and not a like a good mom or a happy wife or anything like that. It just didn't feel fair to the reader. It didn't feel fair to the character. It might be actually, I put it at number three, but it's really up there of things that I didn't like about, kind of like what they did, in the Krakoan era. Like, cause I think I liked X of Swords so much. This felt, it felt wrong. It just like, I like rubbing a cat the wrong way. That's what this felt like. But I want to talk about things that I like as well. So I'm going to pivot from, you know, being salty about Genesis and talk about just, oh, I love that in Krakoan era, everyone is now gay. I know that's hyperbolic. And I know a lot of people don't like all the queerness in the X-Men. And what I say to you people who don't like the queerness in X-Men, I don't care. I don't care. X-Men are gay. X-Men are very gay. There's a lot of gays in the X-Men. They're almost all gay, at least a little bit. Some are really, really gay. And I love that we finally had someone who's like, I'm gonna make them. I'm gonna have Mystique yell out, "I want my wife," after decades of just like, they're roommates who adopted a daughter together. We finally got, you know, Destiny back, and she's a wife. Betsy and Rachel are girlfriends now. They're so good. Just these bisexual women who are being magical and powerful and psychic together. It's so good. Even like, this has been so contentious in the forums and subreddits, but like Cyclops and Jean and Wolverine's thruple. It happened. I'm sorry. If you don't know about this, people have been arguing, because the new editor of the X-Men is arguing that it's not a thing. It wasn't a thing. It wasn't on the page. It was on the page. It's very much on the page. They were a thruple. They were a thing, and that was great. I loved it. It also just got rid of the most annoying thing, one of the most annoying stories that keeps going on, of like, oh, it's this love triangle where Cyclops loves Jean and Wolverine loves Jean, and Jean doesn't know which one to pick. It's boring. I don't like that anymore. I like the thruple, and I'm sad it's over because the editor doesn't want it to be a thing, because he's a prude. I don't know. If I keep going, I'm going to keep saying mean things about the new editor. I'm just not a fan of what he said. I'm hoping the new era can be good. I'm hoping the authors have some good stuff to do. But I'm not happy about that. I'm happy, though, that everybody got to be gay. We got the Hellfire Gala, which was basically Pride. Like, I know it's based off of the Met Gala, but it's Pride. They gave Russell Dodderman the reins to design fashions for all the X-Men, and it just was so gay and wonderful and colorful and cool. And I loved the Hellfire Gala. I assume it's over now. I assume we're never going to have that again, because the Krakoan era is over, which, now that I'm thinking about that, I'm extra sad about that. It was so cool to have this annual event where, you know, a party happened and the new X-Men roster was picked. That was so interesting. And it's over because the Krakoan era is over. But what I hope isn't over is my number two favorite thing about the Krakoan era, and that is everyone finally went to therapy. Because Krakoa was for everyone, that meant the villains needed to be able to have a space on the island, the mutant villains. And while some had some sad endings to their time on there, some got the Juggernaut treatment, which was the rehabilitation of a villain that, you know, maybe was, you know, given a bad rap and just needed some therapy in order to like fix their stuff. Omega Red in X-Force went from Soviet psychopath to a good soldier who just needed someone to help him with his weird vampiric thirst that he has, and give him something constructive to do with his, you know, energy. You know, that's all he needed. And I like that they did that with Omega Red. And not even the villains were the ones that just only ones who got therapy. Legion, the son of Professor X, who gets shunned so much because he's got a mental illness plus godlike powers. It's a rough combination, I'll agree, but he got therapy. He got a girlfriend, which I love. I love his girlfriend's blindfold, the precog. And he basically made a hippie religious commune inside his mind to give people rehab. He worked with Nightcrawler to create rehab and a new religion. It's so good. Legion of X is a fun story to read, and I like what they did with him. I like that Legion. He still didn't get his happy ending with his dad, which I think makes sense because we all know Professor X is a jerk. I like it when Legion is happy and healthy and working on himself. He's never going to be perfect because that's not the goal, but he's a progress. And I like when he's in a good state of progress. What I don't like is my number two least favorite thing about the Krakoan era, and that is Nimrod the Lesser. When Hoxpox came out, Hickman set up Nimrod to be better than ever. Nimrod the Great, I can't remember, was... So it was like candy. It was like candy in my eyes because he was not only everything I've loved about Nimrod. Y'all know that I love that pink robot, but he was a real villain to be frightened of with real power. And that takes some good writing to do that. And Hickman pulled it off. But here near the end in the Fall of X, he lost all of his charm. He lost all of his gravitas, his power. He was goofy in a bad way, and he was boring, and there wasn't any interesting like combat or action or speeches. They ruined my boy. That's all I'll say about that. They ruined my boy. And I don't know. I always want Nimrod to be a part of the X-Men world, and so maybe he'll get to come back and somebody will write him well again. But I'm so bummed about the result of Nimrod at the end of all this, because he was the big baddie at the beginning of this, and I love it. And he's still the big baddie. Well, he wasn't the big baddie. I didn't like the big baddie at the very end, Enigma. I won't even get into that right now. But what I will get into is my number ones of my list. And so that I can end on a good note, I'm going to start with my number one thing I didn't like about the Krakoan era, and that is the character assassination of Moira. I loved mutant Moira. I thought it made so much sense, and it was done so carefully and so well, and really made a character that was already interesting infinitely more interesting, and clearly was done with so much precision and research. And I know that her arc with Inferno was, you know, meant to be that she was supposed to like betray the X-Men, but the lengths that they took her after Hickman left the X-Men office, for those of you who don't know, is that Hickman left the X-Men office during Inferno, and so everything from Inferno on he is not a part of, and they made her into robot Moira, and not only did it make sense, but it was annoying and mean and uninteresting and just overtly cruel. I know that Moira became a complex character with the introduction of the retcon of her mutant abilities, but that didn't mean that she needed to turn into what they made her, in my opinion, after Hickman left. That might have been Hickman's, you know, intent, but because I don't know, but all I can say is that where it led her to being, I didn't like. They landed it semi okay during the Fall of X, but I loved her character so much. I loved these timelines of her so much, and just where it landed just made no sense. It's just people playing with toys that aren't theirs, and it showed. But a toy that people played with that they understood so well, they did the homework, they knew the research, they knew what they want to do, is my number one thing that came out of the Krakoan era, and I think it's going to be something that you're not going to expect from me. It's just simply a single character, Storm. Storm is the winner of the Krakoan era. Storm won. If it's a competition, the girl got in first place. Give her a crown. She's a queen. X-Men Red might have been one of the best comics that come out of the Krakoan era. It was so consistently good. it was so consistently interesting, that making her not only a member of the Quiet Council, but then putting her as the Queen of Araco and putting her on their council. It was inspired. Not to even mention how well she was designed the Krakoan era. The hair, the fashions, the lightning. Oh, it's so good. You need to read X-Men Red just to see the visuals alone. Also, this introduction of her relationship with Magneto is something I never knew I needed. Like, buddies that make so much sense that I never realized make sense. Magneto has interacted with so many of the X-Men in so many ways, but her time with him when he left the Quiet Council to go live on Mars as well, I love it. Even all the way to her being a part of like his resurrection. The resurrection of Magneto was probably one of the better parts of the Fall of X. I liked it. And I haven't even like, we don't even have time to go through all the great Omega level mutant moments that she had during the Krakoan era. And it's also like Krakoan era understood Storm, X-Men 97 understood Storm. I hope we get to keep going with her and how amazing her character, you know, has continued to evolve into in this like after the fall era that we're about to get into. Those are my tops of everything. I couldn't even mention everything that I've loved about the Krakoan era, the terraforming of Mars, this great religious zealot relationship that Exodus and Hope got to have, Apocalypse and mutant magic, Sabretooth rehab when he was put in the pit, the waiting room with Scarlet Witch getting redemption for finally being what do they call her? The false one? No, it wasn't that. What was it? What was her nickname? But basically getting to give her some rehabilitation after Genosha, or House of M, after House of M, sorry. X-Men versus Eternals was a great story. Kieran Gillen, always my man, always my dude. And we're about to enter into After the Fall. If it's good, if this new era of X-Men is good, hooray. If it's meh, you know, at least we have Hickman's like new Ultimate Universe, which is actually very good if you want to read some good Hickman stuff. I promise I read other things than Hickman. It's just he's going to be eternally connected to this era of the X-Men, so I have to bring him up a lot. I still encourage you to go back and read a lot of these crossover events and these titles. A lot of them were just so good. I just don't think that the ending landed so well, but that doesn't mean that the rest isn't great. So it's sad to say goodbye to the Krakoan era, but I wanted to make this episode to kind of put a button end on that so we can move on from here because it felt poignant to talk about it. I'm glad you've been here with me for, as you know, these past 45 episodes where we've talked so much about the Krakoan era. And I hope it's been fun and informative, as always is my intent of this podcast. I will see you guys. Thank you so much for being patient with me taking the last week off. I recently have formed a new business with six other partners of mine. I lost my full-time job. The parent company that I worked for went under. But me and my six buddies started our own new business, a full-fledged business, and you can actually check us out at Tales of Stinky Dragon. We're on Patreon, we're on YouTube, we're on socials, we're on Spotify, all those things. It's a great D&D show that if you're not aware of already, I highly recommend you check it out. But yeah, that was what I needed the time was to launch our business. It's been a lot of work this week, starting up a business and getting it going. But it's been great. I've really enjoyed starting this up, and I'm glad to be back talking about the X-Men. I will see you guys in 2 weeks. Good, be kind, be brave, and be patient with me. All right, bye.